Welcome to the Right Division Network podcast, a production of Grace Family Bible Church in Buffalo, New York. I am your host, Pastor Scott Morton. And we'd like to thank you once again for joining us as we study God's Word rightly divided. We're here in the book of 1 Thessalonians as we continue our study going through this book here. We're in chapter number 2 and we'll be starting actually verse number 6 today, which says, "Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others, when we might have been burdensome as the apostles of Christ." And what we're going to see here as we're going through this is the Apostle Paul's really continuing on with this thought process of where he started in the previous verse, dealing with the ministry that himself, Silas, and Timothy had among the saints in the church at Thessalonica, and how that is the pattern of how we, as the members of the body of Christ, really should be looking at how we conduct our ministry, both as we are dealing with the unsaved individuals and also as we're dealing with the fellow members of the body of Christ. And we always remember that the Apostle Paul is our pattern as he instructs us when he tells us to follow me as I followed Christ. So the information that he records for us in Romans through Philemon that gives us this pattern really tells us how it is that we are to conduct our lives. And he starts talking here about the issue of this idea of getting glory from men. And you know, that's something that individuals really do struggle with in their lives because they want to have the fame, the glory, the prestige, all of these things that comes from other individuals. And they know that in order to get these things, they're going to have to do some things that really are contrary to what the Word of God would actually say. Because, you know, if somebody's following the pattern that's laid out in the Word of God, mankind is not going to respond very well to say that this is something that's glorious and that we need to be responding to. You know, they look at, you know, that there's something wrong with this individual. And the Apostle Paul, when he starts to talk about this, you can see how he actually gives some examples of what was going on in his life prior to his salvation. For example, he gives us, we can go over to Galatians chapter number 1, to where we're going to see him talk about, you know, some of these things here. And in Galatians chapter number 1, we read here verses 13 and 14, which say, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited into Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." And here Paul's talking about this, you know, life and what he was doing and how he was, you know, persecuting the individuals that were part of Israel's program prior to his salvation because he was opposed to everything that God was doing at that time. And you see that the result of this is that it states that he profited in the Jews' religion above many of his equals. That there were individuals that were really had that same status that he had, but because of his zeal and all these things that he was doing, that he was looked at as being this, you know, great individual in the eyes of men because of his opposition to what was going on that God was doing. And you see how man over and over again really holds up these individuals that are opposed to the things that God is doing. And Paul even describes, you know, how it is that his life actually was, when you look over, for example, in a passage, let's go to Philippians chapter number 3, to where we're going to see Paul describe who he was in the eyes of men prior to his salvation. And we see here in Philippians chapter number 3, we're going to start here, verse number 4. It says, though I might also have confidence in the flesh, if any other man thinketh that he hath whereof, he might trust in the flesh, I more. Circumcised the eighth day, of the stock of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, and Hebrew of the Hebrews, as touching the law of Pharisee, concerning zeal, persecuting the church, touching the righteousness which is in the law, blameless. But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ. And Paul talks about here that these all things that he counts as loss are the things that he's just listed out as being the things of, you know, somebody having confidence in the flesh. You know, having confidence in themselves, trying to build themselves up in this manner to where they would be looked up to and glorified by man because of who they are. And you see how Paul even starts to describe himself in this manner when he starts off with this idea of circumcised the eighth day. So he takes it back to the law and how, you know, from the very beginning of his life, that everything was going on according to what the law said. Then he takes, you know, of the stock of Israel. So identifying that he's, you know, by blood, a member of the nation of Israel, the individuals who all of the promises of the fathers had been given to. Then he takes it, you know, that step further to talk about of the tribe of Benjamin. You know, and Benjamin was one of the two tribes in the nation of Israel that had remained closest to continuing to follow what God had laid out in the law, because Benjamin was one of the two southern tribes that stayed, you know, had at least a few kings that were actually trying to keep the law and trying to have Israel perform right. Then he takes it into the issue of a Hebrew of the Hebrews. So now he's taking it into the religious aspect of things and how, you know, he was doing the things that could build himself up in that manner. And he says he's a Pharisee, so he's part of that upper ruling class of individuals in the religious system. So he's, again, keeps putting himself farther and farther up on this pedestal of where he could glory in these things. Then he talks about his zeal, how he had this complete desire to do what he thought was the right thing, even though it was completely opposed to the things of God. He thought it was the right thing, and he continued to do those things. Then he talks about the persecution of the church, which was what his zeal turned into of, you know, he was so zealous of trying to defend what he thought was right that he started, you know, trying to get rid of all those people that he thought were doing the wrong things, even though the people he was getting rid of were right. Then he even takes it one step farther and talks about how he was blameless in the eyes of the law. Now, all of that, he says, is worthless in the eyes of God, because the only thing that matters really is the fact when he says that I may win Christ. And the Lord Jesus Christ is actually the issue, not any of these things related to the flesh, not any of these things related to the glory that can come from the things of men. And a person wins Christ today And that begins the moment that they put their trust in the gospel message, in the fact that Christ died for their sins according to the scriptures, that he was buried, and that he rose again on the third day according to the scriptures. Believing in that, and that alone, for their salvation, that's the starting point. And then it goes from there to the thing of an individual coming unto the knowledge of the truth, that they're studying the word of God rightly divided, applying the doctrine to themselves, which eventually is going to get them to the point of, you know, where we start this of follow me as I followed Christ. Because if they're applying the doctrine to themselves, they're going to follow the Apostle Paul in the doctrine that he gives us in the books of Romans through Philemon. Now we can see how it is that individuals can start to pull away from the things of the Word of God and really start to focus on the things that are considered to be glorious in the eyes of men. You know, in one of these ways, if we go over to 1 Timothy chapter number 6, we're going to see how the Apostle Paul is going to define this here. And here in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, we're going to start here at verse number 6. It says, "But godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we can carry nothing out. And having food and raiment, let us be therewith content. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and a snare, and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. For the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some coveted after, they have erred from the faith, and pierced themselves through with many sorrows." Now here Paul talks about, you know, the individuals that they should be content related to where their physical situation is related to their possessions. As long as they have food and clothing, they should be content. And he contrasts that with where many people actually end up putting themselves. And they're putting themselves in problems because of what in verse 10 says, the love of money is the root of all evil. Now, unfortunately, a lot of times what individuals do is they twist this around and talk about how it's, you know, the money that's the root of all evil. But it's not the money itself that's the root of all evil. It's the love of money that's the root of all evil. And how individuals, you know, get so focused on the things of money and finances and how to get more wealth, that in order to do those things, they have to keep taking themselves farther and farther away from what the Word of God actually says. Now, the Apostle Paul is not talking about the fact that, you know, people shouldn't be rich. He's talking about the struggles that individuals have of, you know, things of, well, you know, I've made $2 million. What am I going to have to do to double this? And they start end up doing all these things that are going to start hurting people in order to try to make themselves more money, rather than the fact that they should be content with what they have. And if they're continuing to make money the right way, where they're not hurting individuals, that's okay. But if they're going to have to hurt other people to try to do this, then it's going to be a problem. And you see how Paul is really going to take this from that aspect. If we look back, you know, to the previous chapter, we tie this in with really what's unfortunately happens in the issues of, you know, the ministry sometimes, because you have, if we go back to chapter 5 in verse 17, it says, "Let the elders that rule well be counted worthy of double honor, especially they who labor in the word and doctrine." And unfortunately, what happens is that, you know, individuals, they see this and say, well, the eldership that is over a local assembly, they're supposed to be taken care of in that manner financially. And instead of focusing on the responsibility that they have as that elder of the local assembly, they're focusing on more, how is it that I'm going to keep making that money, and how could I even increase the amount of money that I'm making through this? You know, and unfortunately, one of the ways that individuals can do this is in order to try to maintain this position of authority is, well, you know what, I'm going to have to start teaching the things that are pleasing to these other individuals. Even if I start to see the truth of God's word rightly divided, I start to see the truth of the gospel message, you know, if I teach this to individuals, you know, they may reject it, and as a result of rejecting it, I'm going to lose this position that I have. I'm going to lose this, you know, thing of making money, and, you know, it's easier for me to just go along and do what they want me to do, and I'm never going to give them the things that they truly need, and I'm pleasing them because they have the itching ears, and I'm not doing the things that are actually pleasing to God. And you see how, you know, man really has a focus on things when it talks about, you know, the glory of men. You know, men's glory comes from, you know, having, you know, those positions of power, having the titles attached to their name. So they want to have this authority position, especially because they have the feeling of, you know, the higher up that I go and the higher title that I'm given, it means I really have to do less and less work because I have other people who are doing it for me, and I can just sit back, kick back, relax, do nothing, and collect this big paycheck and collect all the glory, and don't think about the thing of that it really, you know, there's responsibility that comes with having those, and there's hard work that really comes along with it. But there's a focus on the glory that comes with being able to say that I have this role and that this is what's, you know, who I am. You know, the glory that individuals have from the physical blessings, you know, money, you know, that saying, you know, that's what we saw in 1 Timothy chapter 6 is that whole idea of the love of money is the root of all evil, because that's where they're trying to put their glory in, is that desire to become more and more wealthy. You know, individuals thinking that the things of glory are, you know, just the things that entertain them, and, you know, those things that come about, or the wisdom that they have and the wisdom that they think that they've actually attained. And that's why you see how Paul, when he talks about things, how it is that we're supposed to function. If we go over to 1 Corinthians chapter number 1, we're going to see how the Apostle Paul is actually going to talk about these things here. You know, he starts in verse 18 talking about the foolishness of some of this wisdom here, where he says, "For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom." Now, we're going to stop here. We're going to read the next verse in a moment, but I want to stop at this point of where you see how the Apostle Paul talks about the Jews required a sign, because that was, you know, everything that was associated with Israel's program always tied back to the sign gifts and how God was dealing with them, and they knew it if they were actually seeing the physical signs that were actually occurring. And, You know, that's why you see, you know, in Acts 2, the speaking in tongues. You see how the commission that they're given, all those signs that occur because this is what they needed. Then he talks about the Greeks seek after wisdom. And unfortunately, individuals say, well, you know, see, that's us. And you know, we're seeking after the wisdom that comes from the Word of God. He's not talking about believers in this context. When he's saying the Greeks seek after wisdom, he's talking about the individuals who are unsaved, who are seeking the wisdom of men and not the things of the wisdom of God. Because that's how he had just talked about the idea of that the wisdom of God destroys that wisdom. And then when we read in verse 23, we see how he ties in that this is what we're doing, and we're not doing any of those things that are requiring the sign or seeking after wisdom. Because what we're doing is, but we preach Christ crucified, unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. The Lord Jesus Christ crucified, the gospel message that's been given to us today, it's a stumbling block to Israel and their program, because the Lord Jesus Christ and what he did was the stumbling stone that they stumbled on. For the Greeks, it's foolishness for them to think about what he accomplished on the cross and how that took care of the issue of sin. And they think that there's no way that this could possibly be done. And we see how Paul talks about, you know, avoiding these things. If we go over to Colossians chapter number 2, and we'll see Paul talk about avoiding this philosophy thing here. We're going to read verse 8 of Colossians 2, which says, "Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of man, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ." All of those things, the traditions, the wisdom of man, it's not after Christ. And that's the whole problem with these things that are, you know, the glory of man. It's not after Christ. You know, Paul talks about in 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 3, where he says, "For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears." And the time's coming when that's going to happen. It can already be seen in places today. You know, where, you know, there's ministries where their whole service is nothing but singing songs. And if they do actually teach out of the Word of God, it might be a verse here and then we'll stop reading and let's sing some more songs. Or we're only going to teach the quote-unquote good things out of the Word of God, you know, things that are just pleasing for somebody to hear, and not the things of this sound doctrine, which actually needs to be taught. And, you know, it's not just the things of, you know, mainstream Christianity that's having this happen. You know, this is happening in assemblies that have known and understood the Word of God rightly divided, have understood what it is that they're supposed to be teaching, what it is that they're supposed to be doing, and instead of doing those things, they're actually doing the things that are contrary to the Word of God, doing the things that are pleasing unto man. And, you know, it's a sad thing because it's not edifying for that to occur. Because, you know, man's glory is never the issue, because the Apostle Paul really lays out exactly where the glory really is when he says here, and let's go to Galatians chapter number 6. And here we're going to read verse number 14, which says, "But God forbid that I should glory, save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified unto me, and I unto the world." The things that actually have the idea of where the glory actually is, that glory can only be in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ and what he accomplished on the cross at Calvary, how he took care of the issue of sin for us today, that's truly where the glory actually is. Now, we're going to continue looking at some of these things in our next broadcast. And as we close here, I'd like to remind everyone of our website, which is www.gracefamilybiblechurch.org. And on our website, we have a number of study articles. We have audio files from our Sunday services. We have information about how to watch our Sunday services live on Facebook as they're occurring. They're also, you know, stored in video files there as well. We have information about how to join our Wednesday night Bible study through a conference call option, so you can do that as well. And always, if you ever have any questions, comments about anything you see at our website, anything you hear in one of our messages, anything you hear in one of these broadcasts, we would love to hear from each and every one of you. And until next time, remember that Jesus Christ is Lord.